Welcome to this special edition of the official Isuzu Ute A-Leagues podcast. It's a special transfer wrap edition. David Davutovic is your host, and joining me is one of the most eloquent writers cast and also in Australian football, the prolific Thomas Sheridan Smithies. How art thou, Tom?
I'm very well, David. I don't know why you suddenly come over all Shakespearean.
It's the only Shakespearean term that I know, so I thought I'd use it. But what a time in the A-League's transfer deadline day. Not quite at the levels of the UK or European football, but still a bit of activity for us, Tom.
Yeah, the window's officially closed, though as we know, there's unofficially there's still many ways for clubs to sign players. But there's in terms of getting players from other clubs, there was a little bit of movement, possibly more than we might have expected in previous windows. Often it can be a bit of a damp squib, but yeah, a couple of movements before the window shut, and now all the anticipation starts as to which of these players is actually going to be a hit this year.
A couple to note: Fabio Gomez, Sydney FC signed the Brazilian attacker yesterday on loan from Atlético Mineiro, a 26-year-old. He's obviously arriving as a big name signing for them. That they expect goals, they expect assists from him. Riley Wallen was another one. His third stint at Glory, although he's a youngster, his first one was at the tender age of 15. He's had a stint at Fulham, playing in the local comp there. Alan Stajic throwing him a reprieve. But we also understand that there could be, or there's a couple of deals that have been done that are yet to be confirmed. Melbourne Victory, we understand, have signed Joey's captain and holding midfielder Ryan Teague, who's been based in Portugal for the last year or so, a former Sydney FC Academy product. We also understand Melbourne City have signed another Brazilian attacker, Leo Natel, the ex-Corinthians player, deadline day signing, yet to be announced. We expect that to be confirmed within the next 24 hours. Of course, the deadline or the window has been closed, but there is still paperwork, ITCs, medicals, etc., to get through. So we understand those deals are done. And don't be surprised if there are a few more deals, Tom. As you know, free agents can still be signed. One name that we are hearing around the traps is Nikita Rukavica, the ex-Socceroos striker. He could yet play for the Socceroos again. He's in his 30s, but we understand that there are a few clubs after him. So bit of movement, Tom.
Yeah, big movement of big clubs as well. This is one of the most fascinating parts of this off-season. You look at the changing of the guard, particularly at Melbourne City, and it was always going to happen. It wasn't just a reaction to getting smashed in the grand final, but to lose so many of their foreign players, to lose so much experience with the retirement of Scott Jameson, the excellent transfer of Jordi Bos to Belgium, that so many key players gone for City, and Dario Vidicic is going to have a big job on his hands assimilating all of this, this new talent that they've got. To be fair, their track record of signing foreigners is excellent. They're the only club with a full-time scout based here in Australia, plus obviously the resources of the City Group. I'm hearing Tolgoy Özlem has impressed people already in terms of his creativity. And there's also some really interesting signings at City, like Terry Antonis. If you can get Terry Antonis fit, terrific signing, terrific guy, terrific footballer. Rather, he's plays as a six or an eight, can bring a lot to the club. So there's Sydney FC, have gone this sort of the opposite way. Really, apart from Gomez, they've not really made any big signings. So the big narrative of this offseason is going to be, who's done it best, who's turned it over or decided to stick, like Sydney have.
Correct. Injuries also to play a part, Tom. Matthew Lecky, in the last few days, injured himself in Socceroos training. We understand it was from a tackle from a teammate. So he's out with a leg injury, which is a massive blow. Now, we're also hearing from Melbourne City that Andrew Nabut suffered a pretty serious Achilles injury, and he could miss a large chunk of the season. That's yet to be confirmed, but we do understand that Leo Natel signing may be related to Nabut's injury, and perhaps Matthew Lecky also. So two massive blows for them. Of course, they lost Marco Tilio to Celtic. in the off season. Jamie McLaren's the only one from that famous front four, or front five, if you include Florin Berengay, who was outstanding for them over a number of years. He, of course, has gone to Brisbane Roar. So a lot of movement for them in this off season.
Massively, and a lot of the creativity that McLaren has relied upon to score so many goals has gone. You take Lecky out, you take Naboo out, you take Berengar out, you take Tilly out. Like, they got to find the passes, the movement, the crosses that McLaren thrives upon. It's a big challenge for City not to be dragged back into the pack. But you know, look at the Wanderers; they've got the same issue. They had so many brilliant foreigners last season, and all of them, for one reason or another, decided to move on. Schneiderlin, you know, Layouni, the French duo they had, they were terrific players and contributed to Wanderers playing such good football. And then they've just done this huge turnover yet again. And I think that I'm just going to love watching how quickly the club's going to assimilate all these players, because it doesn't just happen overnight. And I guess Sydney's are going to say that their advantage is they're bringing youth players through, that they haven't gone for wholesale re-signing. You know, they've still got Robert Mack, they've still got Joe Lolley, they've still got Luke Bratton. They haven't replaced Alex Wilkinson and James Tonicky at the back.
Yeah.
They're looking to bring to youth players. I know they were hunting around for a defender these last few days, but these things take time. That the signing of Gomes was in the works for 2 or 3 weeks, and it took until deadline day itself for that to be ratified.
Can we just confirm the pronunciation? Fabio
Gomes.
Gomes. Right.
What are you saying?
Okay. Well, I was going with Gomes, but I'll go with you, Tom. Gomes.
Yeah. On the Zoom, it's going to be crackly anyway.
Very good. You've heard it first. It's Fabio Gomes, according to Tom Smithy's outstanding work. Now, you've touched on a couple of the big signings. I've also heard that Tolgoi Arslan has had a wonderful off-season for Melbourne City. I mean, we've seen him play. He'll be in action again in the Australia Cup for Melbourne City in coming days. But who are the biggest moves in this period? Who do you think's done the best business, or, you know, the headline signings that you expect to really make the mark on the upcoming Isuzu Ute A-League season?
Well, I think the beauty of it is you look at the visa signings every season and you wonder who is going to be a hit. You know, when Bobo first came here, Sydney fans were underwhelmed and he ended up being record goal scorer. The Gomes signing, Sydney are really confident. They're pretty confident they've got another gold star striker on their hands who, for whatever reason, his output's not been great so far, but, you know, he's been picked up by some decent clubs. The fans are a little worried from what I'm hearing about that output. But you look at some players like Valerie Germain coming into MacArthur. I mean, he's played at a very high level in France. His dad was a high level footballer. Not that means anything. My granddad played for England, but
definitely hasn't rubbed off on you.
No, absolutely not. Talent can go not through the generations. You know, Zinedine Macaque at Melbourne Victory. Let's check the pronunciation there, Dave. Is that correct?
Close enough. I think you've done well. You're on a roll, Tom.
Thank you very much. You know, again, comes with a decent pedigree, having played at Napoli, played at Marseille, done well in those clubs. How he'll fit here, it's random things like the hardness of the pitches. I remember Miloš Ninković telling me it took a year for him to get used to the how hard the pitches were, the tempo of the play, the style of play, all that kind of thing. And then you look at someone like Western United has signed Daniel Peña. Now, he's a fantastic player, but he's been injured. A significant injury, out of sight, out of mind from Australian fans' point of view, since he left Newcastle, went to Korea for a year. If he's the same player that he was, that's a fantastic signing. He is plays with such vision. He needs good strikers around him, but he will supply that service. And I can't wait to see him back in the team.
Yeah, caught up with Peña a few weeks ago, Tom, and really interesting story. You know, part tragedy, but, you know, heartwarming in the sense that his wife has gone through a cancer battle, but thankfully she's on the mend. She's due in Australia very soon, and he actually linked his injury issues, and he really had a bad time over in Korea on and off the field, and he talked about Australia being his happy place, and that's why he's come back here. His wife was obviously central to that decision, so I think we'll see the Daniel Pena of, you know, two seasons ago from the Newcastle Jets. So I think he'll be a great signing. You've mentioned a lot of visa players there, Tom. What I'm really looking forward to is the Australian players. And yes, there have been a lot of, you know, players sold overseas in this off-season, and Australian players. We broke the Australian outbound transfer record twice, first with Jordy Boss, $2 million deal over to Westerlo, and then Marco Tilio smashed that record again with a deal closer to $2.5 million over to Celtic. Now, that production line keeps going. There's a fantastic article from Vince Regari in the Sydney Morning Herald today talking about how, you know, it's just because these players have left. I mean, Craig Goodwin, obviously, from Adelaide United has gone overseas, and I know there's been a little bit of backlash from some Adelaide United fans because they perhaps haven't made many signings. But when you look at the history of the competition, we do tend to lose quite a lot of Johnny Warren medal winners. I guess it's, you know, a reward for their accolade and overseas clubs and scouts watching. But what I'm really excited is about these Australian players, the younger players coming through, and even some of these kind of not even so young, but early to mid-20s, but, you know, with a point to prove or they've had some injury issues. So Daniel Arzani, for mine, the male from Victory is that he's having a very, very good season. He's fit, he's sharp. If they can get Daniel Arzani up and about, you know, from the Arzani that we saw in 2018 for 3 or 4 months in the A-League for Melbourne City, then leading into the 2018 World Cup, when he was coming off the bench and he was, you know, really putting some of those World Cup defences on the back foot. If they can get 80 or 90% of that player, we've got a star on our hands, and I think a player that is capable of breaking back into the Socceroos. Angus Thurgate, Western United, I think he's a sensational signing for them, and I think he's really ready to take his game to another level. I've got no doubt that he has the potential to play for the Socceroos one day also. I know we need to be careful about, you know, linking every player with the Socceroos, but, you know, have a look at what Graham Arnold's done with his team and the opportunities he's given players. It's clear that if you do well in the A-Leagues, you're likely to get an opportunity on the international stage. Alu Qual's another one with the Mariners. Really excited to see what he can do this season. And then, you know, someone like Lachlan Brook for the Wanderers, I think he's a fantastic signing. Scored a bag of goals recently in the Australia Cup, and I think he's one that, you know, we've only seen sort of glimpses of. So really excited to see what comes of him. And we spoke about Melbourne City's injury woes. I mean, Alessandro Lopini, who's come over from Western Sydney Wanderers, he's played all their preseason games. Again, looks like he's right in the mix, and, you know, with Nabut and Lecky out of the squad, he'll be there or thereabouts. So I think there could be the emergence of a new batch of talented young Australian players that really make a mark on the A-Leagues this season.
Yeah, and if we're going down the pronunciation route, his old coaches that Wanderers called him Lopane. But anyway, a couple of interesting repatriations as well. Wanderers bringing Dylan Scicluna back from Wolves. I think he's got terrific pedigree. Played for Wolves under 18 side, aged just 13. And also Ying Rees at the Mariners. You know, he came through their academy, went to Denmark. He's come back on a year's loan. This is a really fascinating story, the Mariners. They're such the feel-good story of Australian football last season, and just wonderful to watch as they stormed to the championship. And then one by one, so many of their key players and ultimately their coach have been lured away by clubs overseas. They've got Angel Torres has come in, a Colombian who's followed quite a similar trajectory to Marco Tulio in terms of coming from South America to Portugal, sitting in reserves, going on loan, his career slightly stalled, has something to prove. But obviously, the guys who brought him in now have left because Nick Montgomery, having gone to Hibs as head coach there, has taken a couple of his key lieutenants with him, guys with real knowledge of Portuguese football. And they, most of what the Mariners have done is to promote the youth team players, which is what they keep doing every year. But I'm hearing that they're all over the country looking at 13 and 14-year-olds and getting this reputation now as the club to go to. If you're a young teenager with talent, that you go to the Mariners because you know you'll get a go, you'll get it's a good culture, good environment. But really the appointment of a new coach is absolutely crucial for the Mariners because they've got to have someone who understands the culture, don't they, Dave?
Absolutely. And I think it's worth touching on the coaches when it comes to this transfer discussion. I mean, you know, only a few years ago, the thought of a coach going directly from the A-League, the Isuzu Ute A-League, to Hibs, to the Scottish Premiership was, you know, was almost ridiculous. The fact that Nick Montgomery has gone straight from here to over there, yes, he was born and bred in the UK and cut his teeth over there, but he's been here for 10 years. So I think he's, you know, very much signed and viewed as an Australian and, you know, off the back of what he did with the Mariners over the last couple of seasons. I think that's a massive feather in the cap of the A-Leagues and particularly the Central Coast Mariners. And, you know, you get the sense that obviously that, you know, the Ange Postecoglou effect has played a part. But again, credit to the Mariners because that's a huge move for Montgomery and for Australian football.
Yeah, and it's a really important one because it's kind of a transition move in the sense of Monty wanted partly to go back because of family reasons. I think it was time he felt after more than a decade away. And he'd been quite clever at keeping his links in the UK, but he's undoubtedly seen as a coach formed in the A-League. Like he came here as a player, did well, but he's been his coaching was entirely informed and developed by the A-League. And so that's what, as you say, that's what he's seen as. And that is a really important link now because, as you said, until very recently, people wouldn't have even thought about Australian coaches. Now we're seeing on Keep Up, we're seeing graphics of a dozen head coaches, senior head coaches working around the world who are either Australian or developed here. And Ange clearly has made people look twice now, but others coming up in his slipstream and determined to prove you know, that this is a really good breeding ground for coaches. And what's going to happen if this continues is we're going to have to accept that we should develop young coaches and that they should go overseas and that they should go to these top leagues. And we should look at the A-League as a production line for coaches as much as for players.
Definitely. And the spin-offs are huge for Australian football. These coaches will naturally look at Australian players to sign also. And, you know, they're advocates for the Australian game. So, yeah, we're part of a global ecosystem. So I'm all for it. And, you know, again, there'll be another opportunity for, you'd think, an emerging Australian coach to jump into the hot seat at the Central Coast Mariners. I'm sure an announcement will be made there very soon. Now, Tom, time to stick your neck out. If you had to pick one club, they don't need to be the, you know, the title winner or contender for this season necessarily, but one club that's done the business this transfer window, who has won the transfer window ladder, if you like?
I'm going to say Melbourne City, just because their track record in recruiting has been so strong in recent years. What they do with it is entirely different. But in terms of the window, I'm going to say Melbourne City. But as I said, the most fascinating thing about this is seeing how, whether sticking with what you've got or a wholesale rebuild, the City and the Wanderers have done is the way to go. The only club I'd be a little nervous about is Adelaide, really, because, you know, just a handful of scholarship players added and they have lost Craig Goodwin, amongst others. But for me, City.
And I was going to ask you who came out on the bottom of the transfer ladder. I presume that's Adelaide United.
Yeah, sadly. They do have a terrific crop of youngsters coming through and they have every right to put their faith in those youngsters. It's just going to make the fans a bit nervous in the meantime.
Yeah, for mine, it's Melbourne Victory. They're coming from the top of the ladder, that is. they're coming from a long way back, so they needed to make some good signings. I think they've rejuvenated the squad. I think they've got a solid defence. I think someone like De Silva is almost, you know, a new signing for them, having come in midway through last season. But how far they can, you know, climb up the table remains to be seen. But I think they've done very well. And agree with you, Adelaide United are the ones who, you know, the loss of Craig Goodwin, you know, makes it really challenging for them going into this season. But the disclaimer is the youth. They've got a fantastic production line. We've read reports that the Mariners, to your point about this, you know, national scouting network, they're really targeting Adelaide. And it's no surprise when you look at the volume of Adelaide and South Australian products who have, you know, not only made their way through the system at Adelaide United, but at many clubs interstate, they're clearly doing something right when it comes to youth development in South Australia. So I'm actually excited to see which of those youngsters, comes through. There's obviously going to be a natural improvement from the likes of Iran Kunda, Bernardo, we barely saw him last season. So I don't think that, the fact that they haven't done too much business will necessarily mean that they, go too far down the table. But, excited to see what happens with Adelaide United and their crop of local youngsters. Now, early predictions on the season. We did say at the top of the show that there still could be a bunch of signings coming through. So, obviously there's a disclaimer there. But if you had to pick your top six and your title winner at this stage of the season, Tom, who would it be?
Bloody hell, that's a big question without notice, David Davutovic. That's tough. I'm going to say that City will be up there. I assume Victory going to be up there. And I think Sydney will be good enough to be in the top six. I think at this stage, it's a bit early to be saying definitively too much beyond that.
So we've got, four teams for a top six, right?
Three, I think.
Three, okay. So nine teams will miss out.
Yeah, some radical new strategy. Unless I say you're good enough, you're not in the finals.
I'm with you, Tom. I think it's such a hard one to call at the moment with so much change. I mean, the Mariners won it last season. Obviously, when you lose your coach, we don't even know who's going to be coaching there. So, that obviously is a big decision and I think will factor into the predictions and
I love the fact you've asked me a question that you said yourself is unanswerable.
I wanted to throw you under the bus first. Look, Melbourne City will clearly still be there and thereabouts. Melbourne Victory and this time last year, I did predict them to do big things and I clearly got that one wrong. So I'm not going to get too excited with Melbourne Victory this season, but for me, they will be a top six contender. The Wanderers, I think they've got some good momentum still going from last season. Adelaide United, I still think they'll be a contender. So I, can definitely see them being there or thereabouts. And I think Western United, we'll see a jump from them. It was obviously a very disappointing season campaign from them, but I think they'll be back among the top six contenders. Okay, so we've got 5 weeks to go until the start of the Isuzu Ute A-League season. Of course, the Liberty A-League season, the A-League Women's, kicks off a week earlier on October 14 this season. So stay tuned for all the breaking news on keepup.com.au, including the full lists of ins and outs for each club, men's and women's. And don't forget to subscribe to Keep Up to get all your latest news, analysis and video content ahead of the 2023-24 A-League seasons, which are coming very soon. Tom Smithies, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And until next time, enjoy your football.